Best show.
What's up, Tom? Chili B from Lower East Newbridge Heights. What's happening, my man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just doing the show. It's another Tuesday night.
It's kick ass.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What was your, did you say your name was Chili?
Chili B.
Chili
yeah.
B.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I know I missed a window on this, the Beatles thing. You know what song I would love to hear them do?
Yeah, what's that?
Have you seen this Northwestern Mutual commercial? It runs all the time. They play this Dolly Parton song. You know what it is?
Yes, I have seen. It's nine.
What is it?
Nine to five.
What is it?
9 to 5.
What?
That's the song they do.
No, it's not. That's not how it goes.
Yeah.
No, it's working 9 to 10. What a quick way to make a living, isn't that it?
Yeah, but that's not that's a Dolly Parton song. It's based on a Dolly Parton song.
It's 9 to 10, though, right?
Yeah, but that's what they do.
Oh.
Yeah. You know. I don't, you know, you didn't know that that's what they do?
No.
Well, that's what they do.
I thought that's a song about, like, a day trader or something. Like, that's a quick way to make a living.
9 to 10.
Yeah.
No, but it's a Dolly Parton song.
Oh, okay, all right.
Admittedly, I'm not paying that much attention to the commercial. I know that, what is it, Northwestern?
Neutral?
Yeah, that's a Dolly Parton song.
No biggie. Yeah. Hey, this Trump stuff is just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right? If you saw any of that game last night, he came out for the Star Spangled Banner, didn't know any of the words.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, bleh. What do they call that, 1,000-yard stare, is that what that's called?
When you're just kind of like zoned out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Not, yeah.
It's almost like he's like medicated.
Could be, or he needs to be. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, speaking of, you check out this, that Wolf book?
Oh, what's that? Fire and Fury?
Yes.
Not yet.
Oh no, my God, you got to read this thing.
You're reading it?
Yeah, yeah. And like everybody around him. Yeah, of course, they all say that he's stupid, that he's got no focus, he eats horribly. Now they're saying he's in bed until like 11, he's dim, he's dull, his ties are way too long, his jackets are too big, all that stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that's like a pretty big bombshell in this is that nobody on his team thought that he was going to win. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they're all planning to, whatever, parlay the fame, notoriety that they got from being on his campaign into real-world jobs when he ultimately lost, which they all thought he would. You know, they'd be writing books and hosting TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he won.
Yeah, and I heard that he didn't even want to win.
No, it's true. Yeah, that's what they say. And the one thing that plays into that, it's not in the book, but I've heard this from multiple sources, is that Trump was most upset about winning because it scuppered his plans to become the new lead singer for the Cro-Mags.
The Cro-Mags, what, the New York hardcore band?
Yeah, yeah, they're Trump's favorite band. And I heard it was mentioned on the Best Show maybe last year that Trump frequented these hardcore punk shows at CB's and the Ritz, like back in the late 80s and the early 90s.
Yeah, and I remember that happening, that somebody called in and talked about that last year on the show. And there was even like a photo floating around that showed Trump at the, was it like an Agnostic Front show out in the pit?
Oh my God, I have to Google that. That sounds pretty cool. So anyway, Trump, Harley Flanagan, Paris, and Mackey were in full rehearsals for a tour, but then he got elected, and he was furious because he couldn't tour. You know, so he usually bummed. But the interesting thing is that he and Harley still talk every day.
Harley is Harley Flanagan, the bassist and founder of the Cro-Mags, who's kind of a very outspoken and kind of, I guess you'd say, violent kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's you know, he's got a hair trigger from what I hear, and you know, that plays into this. Trump apparently wanted to make him press secretary, but he was worried that Harley would keep going off message and every press conference would kind of devolve into Harley going on about how crazy and off the hook the Lower East Side was back in the day.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Just turning the press, like there's business to be conducted at these press conferences.
Yeah.
And he would turn it into a thing just talking about just like, you should have been there. Like,
yeah, you weren't there. And then, like, the chances are, like, he'd tear off his shirt and, you know, you'd see that big, whatever, like, bat tattoo that is on his chest. And he'd get up in, like, Wolf Blitzer's face or someone or Hallie Jackson, you know, and that's a bad scene.
Yeah, that would not be what you expect out of a press conference.
No, you can't risk it.
Yeah. It's really weird. So, with all this you're saying,
mm-hmm.
like, this is, where are you getting this from?
Oh, well, you know, a reporter never reveals his sources, all right? Let's just say I have it on deep back rub, all right?
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, on deep back rub.
Yeah.
What is deep back rub?
You're in the media and you've never heard that term? Are you serious?
Deep back rub? No. I've never, ever heard anyone say deep back rub. I mean, I've heard people say deep background.
Wait, what is it?
Deep background.
Oh, that makes more sense than deep back rub.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess the guys were having one over on me. They said it was called deep back rub.
Uh-huh. So they were somebody was kind of making you look like a fool.
Yeah, you know, or as Liam Gallagher would say, making me look a C.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that that's a thing.
Yeah.
To say that, but
yeah.
He's, very, very charismatic, Liam
Gallagher. He is, and I'll tell you, nobody wears a parka on stage like that or sings with his hands behind his back like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd almost think he looks so bored with the things, you'd almost think he's heard Oasis.
Right. Yeah, I can't see that.
It's like, yeah. But I guess they're probably going to have some huge reunion at some point, huh?
Oh, you know they will. You know, I just don't know. The big question, I think, for everybody is Gigsy going to be there?
It's what everybody is talking about.
Yeah, my money is if Gigsy ain't there, there's no tour.
So you don't think the two brothers will reunite Oasis if Gigsy's not there?
No, are you kidding? Not without that those patented bass runs.
Yeah. What about Bonehead?
Yeah, Bonehead will probably be there, I think.
Yeah. So, but you think a reunion? It's like the Gallaghers, yes. Can a reunion happen with one of the Gallaghers, but Bonehead and Gigsy?
That's not my Oasis.
Uh huh.
You
sure. Need all of them. You need all.
I need
them.
All of them. I need. I even need Tony Carroll.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, wait. Now you said you lived where in Lower East Newbridge Heights?
Yes. Yeah. Why?
Because that's out where I live.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you know that? How do you know that?
Well, because I see you every day.
Hold on. Wait, you see me every day?
Yeah.
Out in the Lower East?
Yeah.
Where?
In your yard.
In my yard?
Yeah.
You see me in my yard?
Yeah. I'm your snowman.
Hold on. Wait, what's that?
I'm your snowman. Why?
My snowman.
Yeah.
You're my snowman.
I am, yeah. And I'll tell you, dude, you got to get that damn dog to stop peeing on me because I'm sick of it. It's humiliating, and I'm not going to tolerate it anymore.
Hey, Mike. Can we tighten it up on your end a little bit with the prank phone calls getting through, if you don't mind? Good. Please. All right, so who is this, really?
I told you. It's me, Chili B, your snowman.
Okay, this is just stupid now. This is actually starting to bother me. All right, hold on. Let me get my phone. I got this home security app, Creepy Gone. Can kind of keep an eye on my house. All right. I'm logged in now. Just to take the jokes once and for all. Put them to rest.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
I'm looking at my front yard. And there you... Wait, where are you? You're supposed to be on... You were on the front yard when I left. At like 6 today.
Yeah, I know.
The show.
Hey, I'll tell you, man. You got to cut back on that coffee. You know, you carry that whole big pot with you into your out to your car, and you know, take it easy with that. All right.
Take it easy. Okay.
It's too much coffee. I do think it's helping you blow through that Black Sabbath book. You're almost done it, right?
Uh huh. The Black Sabbath FAQ book.
Yeah.
Almost done.
Yeah. Did you start at the beginning? I personally would have gone straight to Gillian.
No, I've been reading it straight through. And there's a very interesting section now of the book where they talk about just all the lead singers after Ian Gillan. Tony Martin,
I was going to say Tony Wright.
Yeah. And Ray Gillan, right? Is it Ray?
Ian.
But there was another Gillan after.
Oh, you're right. I think it is Ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they talk about Body Count guitarist Ernie C. of producing one of those latter records?
Yes, the one on IRS Records.
Oh, my God.
You remember when Black Sabbath was on IRS Records?
I think Terry Chimes played the drums.
It is amazing. The drummer from The Clash and the guitarist or bassist from Body Count...
Guitar player, yeah, Ernie C. Why?
So Ernie C. is producing Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And the guy from The Clash is drumming for them.
Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, very interesting. So, hey, wait, if you're not in my yard, where are you right now?
Oh, I'm out and about. Don't worry about it. Hey, what's your read on your garbage man?
On my garbage man? I really don't know the garbage man.
It's Donnie. And I'll tell you one thing. I think he's a creep.
You think a garbage man's a creep?
I know he is. He just has that look. He's like a cross between Tim Kazurinsky's character in Neighbors, you know, the guy that snakes the sewers, and Donald Trump Jr. in real life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a little oily.
Yeah. You know what I do? Yeah.
What's that?
I sing little songs while he's loading your trash into the truck. It's like... He's the garbage man, making garbage plans to go get Shafache tonight. Dumb mutant has no idea where the voice is coming from. He's looking around, what?
Yeah, well, to be fair, though, he's looking around for it, and he's seeing a snowman. He's not expecting a snowman to be singing.
That's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. But you kind of jerk him around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of songs, I like Christmas songs, but yeah. I'll tell you, I do get my fill by the 25th.
Sure.
I mean, it's fun to see all and hear all the carolers come to your house, you know, but I'll tell you, I'll melt happy if I never have to hear those songs again.
You'll melt happy?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And the logic of some of these songs, I mean, who's getting ear?
Like, what are there specific ones you're thinking of?
Well, that one, you know, what's it, bring us some figgy pudding and bring it right here? I mean, that's a pretty disturbing line on a multitude of levels. But bring it right here. Like, where the F else are they going to bring it? You know, it's like, and bring it over there, and we'll tuck into it in a scotch. I mean, is that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good observation.
Our mouths are here.
Mm-hmm.
So, bring it here. But I'll tell you a less obvious one. Winter Wonderland.
Yeah.
You know, in the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. They've already established that this encounter's taken place in a GD meadow, right?
Yeah.
And now they're saying that Parson Brown, he can marry them in the city? I mean, it's like, get your geography straight, you old-timey nitwits, right?
Fair. Yeah. But I got to say, these are fair points, but I think you might be overthinking all this a little much.
Here. Okay, maybe, but what's with the we'll say no man line? I mean, who's this couple, Grace Slick and Paul Kantner? Like, show the parson / snowman some respect, you drug-soaked Mansonites.
Man, drug-soaked Mansonites.
Yeah, where are we, Altamont?
That's
no man.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it is a little weirdly hippie-ish,
right? I mean, and this song—I don't even know when the song was written, but it's like, I don't know. It's the world's crazy, right?
And getting crazier, some might say.
It feels like it is. It feels like it is. Yeah. Hey, speaking of crazy, crazy things and holiday songs. You didn't create me until mid-December, so I wasn't around for Halloween.
Yeah.
But we snow people hear gossip now and then, and I know about the Monster Mash, but is there really a novelty song by the Bee Gees called Horror Party at Studio 54?
Wait, a song by the Bee Gees called Horror Party, what is it?
Horror Party at Studio 54. Someone told me about it.
I've never heard of any such song. Do you know how it goes?
Well, it's supposed to be something like, "Well, the Wolfman was all Frankenstein, and Dracula had Aquaman's in his face, and the thing in his hand."
I'm stopping. I have to stop you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't sing anymore.
It gets dirtier.
Yeah, well,
that's just the first line.
It started off very
filthy.
It starts off with
the Wolfman line, yeah.
Yeah, that's filthy.
It's a sickness, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but look.
Well, is it real?
I have no idea.
Okay.
If it's a real Bee Gees song or not, but I mean, I can only, in terms of what I'm trying to do on this show,
right?
There's just like no place for like filth like that on
okay.
the show.
Fair enough.
And also, Aquaman wasn't a monster.
Sure, he was. He's not.
No.
Huh?
He's a superhero.
Oh. But he has those abs, though, right? He's got a tight bod, though, right?
It's pretty ripped. I mean, yeah. In the comic book, he kind of looked like he was just a blonde guy in an orange gill suit swimming around. But in the movie now, he looks like he's in. Looks like he plays with Zach Wilde.
Oh, really?
Like,
oh, wait, you're not thinking of what's it called, The Shape of Water?
No, not that movie.
Okay, because he's a hottie too. I mean, he's got like a weird thin face, but the mouth is very, very attractive, and the abs are pretty taut also.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the movie. He looks like he's in, was it Black Label Society?
Black Label Society. Zach Wilde's Black Label Society. Yeah.
Like, it looks like he's one of Zach's guys.
He could be. Hey, speaking of rock music,
yeah,
I'm really getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I'm new to Earth, so you know I don't know the names of pretty much any of the records of the new stuff. I just know the music and the album covers.
Okay, like what kind of stuff are you into? Like, what are your favorites so far?
Well, I like this band. They're called Pavement. And this album, I think it's called Two Guys and a Dog Keeping Warm by an Outdoor Fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually called Wowie Zowie.
What's it called?
Wowie Zowie.
Wowie Zowie.
Yeah.
Write that down. I also like this guy, Iggy Pop. He has this album, it has a song called, I think it's called The Passenger, and the album's called I'm Having Fun.
Is it just a picture of him looking pleasant on?
He's like having fun, yeah.
Yeah, that's Lust for Life.
What's it called?
Lust for Life.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting into like some of this, I guess it's called like hardcore punk. This band Husker Du.
Uh-huh, yeah, of course.
It's this double album, and it's called The Case of the Three Junkyard Lurkers.
Okay, that's Zen Arcade.
What's it called?
Zen Arcade.
Oh, going by the cover, you'd think it was called The Case of the Three Junkyard Lurkers.
I see your point, yes.
Have you heard this song called When Doves Cry?
By Prince.
Yes, it's on this record. I assume it's called Getting Ready to Take My Girl on a Foggy Motorcycle Ride. Is that what it's called?
No, that's called Purple Rain, actually.
Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Have you heard of this guy named Nick Cave?
Yes, of course.
I like this record. It has that song that goes, they take apart their bodies like toys for the local boys, because they're always there by the water's edge. The album's called, I think it's called I Banish Thee, Naked Lady.
Push the Sky Away.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of reggae?
It's only rock. And roll.
Yes, I think that's on there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I like reggae?
Have you heard of reggae?
Sure.
I like this guy Bob Marley, and it's this album. Yeah. It's called Smoking Pot.
It's not called Smoking Pot.
Sure it is. That's what's happening on the cover.
No, that's Catch a Fire.
Catch a Fire. I don't get it.
Yeah. No.
There's this band. They're actually called The Band.
Sure.
And it's kind of like this old-timey music that's kind of rock. I really like this record of theirs. It's called A Child's First Painting.
No, that's that's called Music from the Big Pink.
Oh.
Yeah, then Bob Dylan painted that.
Is he a child?
He was an adult at that point.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Not known for painting, but...
Well, huh. I enjoy this duo, kind of soulful, but kind of rock. They're called Hall & Oates.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I like this album. It's got a song called Witch Girl on it, and I assume the record's called The Two Miniature Men Who Lived on Wine and Crackers and Wrote Songs Surrounded by Ferns in a Recording Studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not the... It's called Bigger Than the Both of Us, that album. It's a very, very popular album for them.
Oh, it is. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, I like it. So if you had any recommendations, I'd be into it.
Well, that's a good start. It's very
kind of on a good track?
What's that?
I'm kind of on a good track?
I think so. I think you are on a good track, Chili.
That's cool. I'm having a great time seeing all these new movies, too.
Well,
what an experience.
Can I ask, actually, considering that you're a snowman,
uh-huh,
how you're seeing movies?
Oh, you know, there's a Snow People Cineplex under the Maurice Kern Pre-Memorial Overpass.
There is, really.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, man, I love going to the movies, and I really love popcorn.
Okay.
I've never had it before. So yummy. Oh, it's total numbers. And I like to eat popcorn and Twizzlers in combination.
Okay.
It's really good. And listen, before the cretins on your message board get their khakis in a curl, yes, I've tried Red Vines. And the jury is in. They suck.
You don't like Red Vines?
Don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look, that's a matter of taste, I guess. And
That couldn't be more true.
Yeah. What? So what's the most recent movie you've seen?
The most recent one. I saw that movie about the woman who runs the poker games.
Yes, yes, that's Molly's Game.
What's it called?
It's called Molly's Game.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, this isn't any kind of spoiler or anything, but I just assumed it was called The Mean Father Who Somehow Knew Exactly When to Turn Up at a Very Specific Skating Rink in Order to Be Involved in One of the Weirdest Conversations in the History of Film. It's not called that.
No, it's not. It's Molly's Game. Simpler title than that. Mm-hmm. And those scenes, scenes when somebody shows up at the place where the other person is,
right,
and there's no way for them to, or like they show, like they, you see that a lot of times in movies at like a cemetery.
Right, yeah.
And the person, the other person, they always say the same thing. I knew I'd find you here.
Yeah. This is like the Muhammad Ali of that kind of scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm still wrapping my head around that there's a, it's a movie theater for snow people in, like, right in Newbridge.
Oh, we have all the stuff, and we do all the things that you fleshies have and do. You know, we go to the park, we go shopping, we go to restaurants.
Uh-huh. So when, if you're doing this stuff, when are you actually going to these places? Because I see you out in my yard all day.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, we snow people, we get up to our snow shenanigans when you guys all go to sleep.
Really?
Yeah, that's when we snow our wild oats.
Uh-huh. You're really working the puns there, huh?
Jealous much?
No puns. No.
Little bit?
Well, a tiny bit.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You wish it was, you were as cool as I am, get it?
Oh, yes, I get it. All right, it's over. I'll let that one, that one can stand, you know.
Ah, keep them coming.
What's that?
I said keep them coming.
Who are you talking to?
Bartender.
Wait, you're at a bar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ah, yeah, Igloo's place. It's run by a guy named Lou. Get it? Igloo?
I get it. Sure.
Yeah. I'll probably be here until you come outside to your front yard at 5 a.m. to take a squeege. Why do you do that up front?
What are you Well, there's... I don't know. It's like it comes from camping, I guess.
I see it. I get it. Oh, I'll tell you, my wife and I, we are not getting along.
Wait, you're married?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you married to?
Jill.
Okay.
She's a snow woman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she lives a block away in front of the Schwarzengruber's house.
Okay. All
weird
right.
Family.
Sure. So what...
I don't know what those guys are getting up to.
What, if you don't mind me asking, what's going on between the two of you where you're not getting along?
Oh, you know, the usual... Married too soon after meeting. You know, when those snow sparks fly, though, you know, your mind gets, I don't know, you know, you're just thinking from a different region of your body, right? You know? And you really can't build a real relationship on physical attraction and, you know, how well someone can polish your carrot, you know?
Ugh.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, it doesn't, and that's...
You know, on topic.
Yeah.
I found a stack of those Penthouse Forum magazines behind your neighbor Herb's tool shed.
Penthouse Forum is the magazine that's like people sending in letters, like that get published in the thing, talking about all like their erotic encounters.
Mm-hmm.
He's like completely exaggerated.
Totally. Yeah. And I read a few of them, and I'll tell you, it really got my snow boiling. Any young person, you know, who doesn't have any sexual experience who reads this garbage, they're going to think that animalistic, consequenceless sex really exists, and it's not dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it does send weird messages, and it's weird kind of, I think it's very confusing, like weird signals that people... Very, very, very can create some troubling situations.
I agree, and that's why I have been writing a book called Penthouse Forum Postscripts.
What is that?
Well, it's kind of what the
really
title implies.
There, huh?
Realistic tales of the aftermath of these hedonistic sexual encounters.
Uh-huh.
I'd love to read one for you.
I don't know. I mean, is it clean?
It's totally clean, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's hear it.
All right. I was at my son Marley's baseball game and my phone rang. It was Shelley, the woman from work who I had that amazing sex with last month. I answered the phone certain she wanted another copy room rendezvous. The tone and fragility of Shelley's voice immediately made me realize a love romp was not in the cards. I'm pregnant, Shelley sighed. My heart sank as I felt my world slowly crumbling. Beside me sat Julia, my wife of 15 years. She'd been with me through some of the worst moments of my life. She worked at night at UPS so I could go to law school. She'd be absolutely gutted if she knew what I'd done. That I took a whiz on my marriage vows, so sad, and took advantage of a much younger woman just so I could satisfy my base sexual cravings. I excused myself from the grandstand and I hid behind the Little League snack bar, begging Shelley to do the right thing, but she wouldn't have it. She was determined to see this thing through.
I can't. We get it. That's enough of that.
Well, I've got some from the female perspective.
Okay, I guess.
Want to hear one?
You know what? Sure. Let's. Okay. I would be interested to see what this is like.
Okay. The silent notification went off while I was in the board meeting, and I shivered with excitement. It was blinking the color I had assigned Eric, the guy from last week I'd spent months strategizing around. I could hardly wait to get out of the meeting and check it. But when I finally did, it was just Eric saying, "I think so," in reply to a Radiohead question I'd asked him 3 days ago. I immediately screen-capped it and sent it to 7 friends so they could tell me what a heartless jerk he was and make me feel both worse and better.
Uh-huh. Okay, these are very depressing.
Well, that's reality. Oh, yeah. Hang on. My publicist is texting.
Your publicist?
Oh, my God!
What is it?
Oh.
What's wrong?
I just got nominated for 12 Golden Snow Globes.
Golden Snow Globe.
Yes.
What is a Golden Snow Globe?
It's exactly what you think it is. It's the Golden Globes, but for us snow people. Oh my God.
Uh huh. Wait, 12 nominations?
Yes.
Well, can I ask what do you do?
Oh, well, I'm kind of like the Tyler Perry or Seth MacFarlane of the snow set. I churn out a whole slew of movies and TV shows geared to ice people.
Okay.
I've got shows like, and films like The Diary of a Mad Snow Woman, Chili B Gets Down, Chili B Gets Down 2, Dance with the One That Built You, Meet the Snowdens,
uh-huh.
Eat My Top Hat, to name just a handful.
Wow, you really have a pretty full slate there.
Very successful stuff, too.
Yeah. Wow, that's very entrepreneurial. I had no idea you were in the biz like that.
Oh yeah, I am the biz pretty much.
Okay, well, you know, look, you're on my front lawn, and you know, maybe who knows? Maybe you could hire me to staff up on one of the movies or TV shows you got going there.
That's cute.
Uh huh. Wait, what's so funny?
Look, son, I read the Radio Detective.
Wait, you read the Radio Detective? How did you read the Radio Detective?
Oh. Well, you know, it fell out of the trash can when Donnie was dumping it into the garbage truck. And I picked it up and I read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure your listeners would love to get a glimpse into what you work on during the day when you're not working on the best show.
So that's okay. I think they really wouldn't. I mean, Look, the radio detective is not my best work in the scheme of things.
Oh, come on, just nutshell it, please. Please, I'll never ask anything from you again.
Ooh. All right, well. Okay, I wrote a screenplay that was a... It's not... Look, I'm not... It's not great. It's not good, probably.
Come on, just...
It's, Okay, it's a, I wrote a screenplay about the host of a call-in comedy radio show, and his name is Thom, or Tom, but with an H. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought it would be said Thom in it, and,
Oh, you're actually pronouncing it Thom in the script.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, continue, sorry.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I thought the plot of the radio detective that one night Thom gets a call on the air from somebody that's afraid that somebody's out to kill him. That's what a caller's worried about. And then Thom thinks it's a joke, and then until he hears, like, gunshots in the background, and then the line goes dead.
Right.
So then he's intrigued by that.
Right.
So then he starts to, like, look into the call and investigate, and then he finds out that, yeah, a murder did take place, but the police are not following up on the case. They're not interested in it at all. So then Thom kind of like picks up all the elements that are laying around and tries to solve the murder himself.
Right.
And the murder turns out to actually be part of a conspiracy that goes all the way to the White House, and Thom eventually catches the murderer during a dramatic fight, which takes place on top of the Washington Monument.
Okay, now do the end that it was written in like this on the pages. It was written in pencil, and it looked like you were very angry when you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Read that part. Or explain what that part was.
Sure. It's like the fight's taking place on top of the Washington Monument, and then everybody in Washington is so impressed that they lobby the sitting president, whose name is President Parker, to step down and then let Thom become president of the United States. And then President Parker agrees, so then the next president is President Thom Starling, is the 46th president of the United States.
President Starling.
Yeah, and look, I told you it wasn't my best work, okay?
Well, Tom, unfortunately, I read most of the other ideas that you left in the trash out on the curb over the last couple months.
Yeah.
And the radio detective is your best work.
Really?
Yeah. I read all of it. I read Get Sharpling. I read The Jersey Jester. I read Revenge on the World, parts 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
Settling Scores.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is so crazy. The Maiming of the Coward Kevin Smith by the godlike Tad Shockling.
Uh-huh. Well, first of
all, what is that?
First of all, it was Settling Scores. It's an N apostrophe, not settling.
Oh, is it like a Western?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's about it's about like an old cowboy DJ. I don't want to talk. Why? I can't even believe you read all of these.
Yeah. Look, I'm just trying to help you. Okay. Sometimes in life you're off target and you don't even know it. And I think this is one of those cases. I'll be brutally honest. Writing just isn't your thing. Just like working in a hot steel mill wouldn't be my thing. I'd melt.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you think I should be doing for a living?
Well, you know, just from my front yard vantage point, I see you exhibiting a few marketable skills, at least.
Like what?
Well, you're very good at organizing, cleaning, and maintaining those wacky packages you're always carrying around.
I do like to keep them in order.
Yeah. Maybe you could get a job at one of those punnily named cleaning businesses like Clean and Jerks, that company that only employs a-holes to keep your house clean and spotless.
So wait, you only think the only thing I am qualified to do is to get a job cleaning in houses?
Well, no, I do see you doing those jigsaw puzzles on your dining room table all day. Sure, it seems to take you five times as long as it would take, say, a teenager to put it all together, and you do start crying when you get stuck, but you do always see it through to its conclusion. I give you that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try because if you're going to start a puzzle, how would I even make a living doing puzzles?
Look, I can't hold your hand through life. You're going to have to ice up and figure this thing out for yourself. All I know is writing. Yeah, you just don't have it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry. Look, I got to get ready to do my podcast.
Your podcast? You have a podcast.
Yeah, it's on my tab.
I didn't know you had a podcast. You're really hitting that bottle there, huh?
I am. Yeah, I need to.
Yeah.
I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your podcast?
Yes, it's called The Iceman Poddeth.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, I interview all the biggest names in snow business. But tonight I'm talking to one of the biggest names in fleshy broadcasting.
Okay.
Yeah, it's this guy, his name's A.P. Mike.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I don't know who he is, but my producer says he's the next big thing in radio. Unfortunately, he's tethered to this, I guess it's like a romper room radio show, and he's just sitting there biding his time before the host realizes that his 15 minutes is up and he has to retire into flagrant obscurity, hopefully sooner than later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anywho, I'll see you in the morning, unless I get lucky on the way out of here. All right, later, brah. Take it cool. Keep it icy.
You too, Chili B. Oh, we hung up. Oh. Well, that is a new low that I did not even think was possible to get refused employment by a snowman who is not even going to exist in like 4 months, not even 4 months. Well, you know, the hits just keep on coming.